Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Do I have any doubt about the Chiefs beating the Lions?
Never a doubt.
Give me a break. They're going to be just fine. So no, I'm not worried about it. I am flatly not worried about it. Why does no one understand what's going on with the Chiefs except me? So I'm not worried about the Chiefs at all. Everyone right now, except for me, it would seem, is freaking out about the wide receivers. They will be fine. This tattoo is going to go down as one of the greatest sports prediction tattoos ever. We'll see if I end up being right. Welcome in, What's Right with Nick Wright, episode 216, our annual edition where we discuss the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. It's a tradition around here. DeMonze is dressed for the occasion. And it is a unique spot to be in where simply by believing in Patrick Mahomes, I get to be the rightest man in sports media. It's as if I covered physics 110 years ago and I just kept betting on Einstein and people were like, how do you do it? What's your secret? It's like, I don't know. He's the best we've ever seen, and he seems pretty good. All right, so welcome in. A lot to do today. There's a winter storm in New York City that has appeared to have some impact on our internet, which I know can be spotty and frustrating for people at times. I think we've got it figured out. If you're watching live on YouTube and there's an issue, I apologize, but we will get the full episode up, and I think we're going to be fine. DeMonze won money on the Super Bowl. DeMonze won money on the teaser. The teaser, by the way, either way, the teaser you wanted to do would have hit. The teaser I convinced you to do needed overtime to hit. Right. I almost cost you on that, but the Chiefs won. So I want to talk big picture and then about the game, and DeMonze will jump in and out with questions and thoughts. The big picture, we just showed it. Patrick tweeting never a doubt. So I'm going to talk about me and then the big picture, I guess. And I know that there are some people wondering, was that coincidental? I don't want to reveal any confidences, but 100% not coincidental. And in fact, you know what? Patrick won't be mad about this. Patrick hit me right after the Ravens game and text me never a doubt. But and then next one, but still more work to do. And I'm not ashamed to say this. I will be totally honest. I said to him, I was like, hey, man, I think I called him a legend and then said, if you wanted to tweet out never a doubt, it wouldn't exactly be bad for me. And then 2 hours after winning the Super Bowl, he puts that on Instagram and IG and texts me, I told you I got you. See you at the parade. And it's about as good as it gets, guys. I'm not going to lie to you. Kansas City's very small town, even when its athletes are the biggest stars in the world. And right after the greatest athlete in Kansas City history, arguably the greatest athlete in NFL history, and we will see where he goes down in all of sports history, right after what I consider the crowning moment of his career, the fact that he shouted out what we do on the television show and my never-wavering support was a very cool moment. So, big picture-wise, why did this seem so obvious to me? Not that there's never an obvious Super Bowl champion, right? It's single elimination. These games are close. They're one-score games. But why did it seem so obvious to me that the Chiefs were being written off in a way that was baffling and that they were as viable as any team? And now everyone is catching up to it, but it was they had the three biggest pieces you need for any Super Bowl champion in any era of football. They had a legitimately great defense that just became one of only a handful of teams in all of NFL history to never allow 28 points in a game. In fact, that defense only allowed 25 points one time all season, which puts them up with some of the greatest defenses we've ever seen. So that was the first check mark that was being overlooked. They had an unquestioned great coach that was in the argument and now is unquestionably the best active coach in the league and one of the greatest coaches ever. And a quarterback who, while I do not think quarterback wins are a stat, I do think there is such a thing for a quarterback as knowing how to win. The reason I don't like quarterback wins as a stat, it's a, you know, weaponized against certain players or used to laud others, is because there are so often in the NFL, a quarterback does everything he needs to do, leaves the field with the lead, and never sees the ball again and takes a loss. Or when we saw throughout some of this regular season, a quarterback could play great as Mahomes did, and his teammates let him down like happened in week one, his offensive teammates. But what I do think is a real thing is recognizing the type of football that is demanded in given situations and rising to that occasion. And what you saw from Patrick Mahomes on this arc of the postseason was week one of the playoffs, wild card round against Miami. What it was going to take was for him, as the tip of the spear, as the leader of the team, to look totally and completely unfazed by negative 30 degrees. And he did that by opening, and Reed did it by calling three straight passes, by opening the game up saying, we are not changing anything. And that game was won, in my opinion, by the mentality of Patrick versus the mentality of Tua and the Dolphins. From Mike McDaniel to Tua to Tyreek to everyone, they looked like they didn't want to be there, and the Chiefs looked like, ah, it's a little chilly out here. What that game took was that you were going to have to show up and just pretend it wasn't the coldest football game of your life. The next game against Josh Allen and the Bills in Buffalo, what that game was going to take from Patrick was perfection. I am going to have to make the big throws down the field, run the ball. I am going to have to make zero mistakes. And that's exactly what he did. I am not going to have a ton of the super short stuff or the super deep stuff, but because of the injuries to their linebackers, I am going to be able to live in the intermediate part of this field, and that is where he lived. The AFC Championship game in Baltimore, the moment the Chiefs, Patrick needed to come out guns blazing and put the pressure on Baltimore. he did, back-to-back touchdown drives. The moment that happened, and then the Chiefs got up 10, what that game took was punts. Don't turn the ball over. Don't get greedy. As long as every time I have the ball, we're up more than one score, all I need to do is make sure I don't give them a score. And in that game, he did nothing the entire second half until the one possession where it was a one-score game, the final possession, and then he uncorked a perfect 35-yard throw down the middle of the field. That should be noted. When the Chiefs lost to the Eagles and MVS dropped the game-winning touchdown pass and everyone wanted Patrick to kill him, Patrick went to the podium and said something that I think even I was like, oh my gosh, you might be taking this accountability thing too far. If you remember, he said, I could have thrown it a little bit shorter. And we all were like, give me a break. It hit him in the hands. He was reaching for it, hit him in the hands. Fast forward 2 months later, the biggest throw of the season up to that point, to MVS, same coverage. What does he do? He doesn't lead him. He throws it a little bit shorter to where the ball almost catches MVS, where it lands in his chest to where it's almost undroppable. And then the Super Bowl. What was it going to take from Patrick Mahomes? It was going to take... Go ahead, DeMonte. Go.
I'm going to take some legs. I know that.
Exactly right.
Yeah, exactly right. A lot.
Well, and here is what I think blow your mind about it. So we're used to seeing Patrick in the playoffs take off and run. And this is where Andy gets credit and Patrick gets credit. So Patrick, the year they won the Super Bowl, he hurt his knee on a QB sneak. And that was 2019. They took out the quarterback sneaks. Then in 2020, in the playoffs against the Browns, they were running an option play. And the league thought Patrick got concussed. He actually got choked and blacked out. But he got choked on the edge and had to be out for the rest of the game, was ruled out. That was the Henny thing as possible game. That was the playoffs in 2020, okay? The Chiefs had not called a single, this is via Bill Barnwell, a single designed quarterback run from that moment until the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. They went 60 games without saying the design of this play is for Patrick to keep it and run. But when the moment demanded it, when Nicky Bosa is crashing down and crashing down and crashing down, Patrick takes advantage of that on a triple option designed run for 22 yards. And then with the Super Bowl on the line, trailing in overtime, fourth and one, designed quarterback run. It's what the moment demanded, so it is what Patrick delivered. And so that is what, so we now, the numbers on this are now insane, okay? I'm just going to throw a few at you, and then we'll get into the actual game. But the numbers are truly unlike anything, DeMonte, we've ever seen before, and they seem make-believe. So, the great stats producer from First Things First, we used them on the show, but he sent them to me in an email because I knew I'd want to use them on the podcast as well. Mm-hmm. Playoff history, when trailing by double digits, okay? Playoff history. Before Tom Brady came around, and this is where great athletes, DeMonte, change our brain on what is expected or possible. This is why I've said LeBron playing at this level at 39, Steph is low-key getting the short end of the stick for what he's right. doing at 35, because LeBron at 35 led the Lakers to a title, so people are thinking, oh yeah, at 35 you're still in your prime. You're not. You know, Jordan was at the very end of his prime.
Living up to it.
Exactly. Curry is. But if LeBron hadn't just done it, people would be saying, oh, my God. Okay.
Right.
So before Tom Brady came around, postseason history, down by 10 or more, teams won 11% of the time. Okay? Before Tom Brady took over, NFL history, all quarterbacks, all teams, if you're down by 10 in the playoffs, you win 11% of the time. Brady then took over, and in 14 playoff games that he was down by double digits, won 6 of them. So, and before his final playoff game ever, he had won, he was only 30, he had basically won half. You know, he was 6-7 going to his last game ever. So Brady changed what we looked at down 10 as, oh, you're in trouble, but you got a chance. So all of NFL history is 11%. Brady, 6-8, 43%. Patrick Mahomes been down double digits in the playoffs 7 times. He's won 5 of those games. That's 71%. Okay, let's take it further. In the last decade, I'm sorry, in the last 5 years, since this Chiefs dynasty started, there have been 11 double-digit playoff comebacks. Okay? Mahomes has 5. The rest of the league has 6. In the last 5 years, there have been 11 double-digit playoff comebacks. Patrick Mahomes is 5-1, down double digits in the playoffs. Every other team in the league is 6-48, 11%. That same 11%. The Super Bowl, down double digits before Tom Brady came along. A double-digit Super Bowl comeback had been done twice in NFL history. The teams down 10 in the Super Bowl, other than Mahomes and Brady, 2-47, okay? Brady, 2-1. Patrick, now 3-1. And I will expand it one step further. Just down, and this is where greats change our brains. Just down a touchdown in the playoffs. Just down 7 points. You could be down 7-0 after the opening drive. Before Brady came along, teams down 7 in the playoffs won 20% of the time. Brady was 10-11, won 48% of the time. 2.5 times more often than everybody else Brady did it. Patrick is 9-2. In playoff games, he trailed 7, 82% of the time. He finds a way. Go ahead.
Yeah, so you've called him the greatest active living athlete before. So do you think that he's surpassed Michael Jordan and Tom Brady from the sounds of it? You think he's passed Tom Brady as a quarterback?
So I'm glad you asked that, because that's why I – so some people misconstrued that. So that's why I said active. So the what I am, so let me explain exactly what I think by that. So it's Jordan and Brady obviously aren't active, but LeBron is, and you know what I mean? So am I saying he's better than LeBron? I am, so I will give all the Mahomes superlatives now, and then we'll do the game breakdown. So I think Patrick Mahomes, by greatest active living athlete, what I mean is take the best player, current best player in every sport, Mahomes is the best. So I'm right now not comparing him to LeBron. I'm comparing him to Jokic or Giannis. Mahomes is the best. Mahomes is the greatest active. Mahomes is better at football than any other athlete is at their respective sport right now. Yes, that's how I feel. Absolutely. All right. Unequivocally, yes. Now, as far as the Brady Mahomes stuff, this is... all we can do is, if you are a count the rings sycophant, then Mahomes obviously has a lot of work to do. Okay? if you are just going to say he must get to seven, and by the way, spoiler alert, DeMonze, if Mahomes gets to seven, what folks will say is, yeah, but they both have seven. Brady had to
never beat Brady.
So he, right, so he actually needs eight. That's fine. All we can do is look at pace. And Mahomes has 6 years as a starter, has won the Super Bowl in half of them, been to the Super Bowl in 67% of them, been to the conference title game every single year. Brady in 6 years as a starter, won the Super Bowl in half of them. Yeah, that's right. Brady won the Super Bowl in half of them, went to the Super Bowl in half of them, and went to the conference championship game in half of them. So he is, in four of the six. So he's ahead of that pace, and Brady, for his career, won the Super Bowl 32% of the time, went to the Super Bowl 45% of the time, went to the conference championship game 65% of the time. So he's ahead of all those paces. But that's a different question. If the question is, I can have any quarterback in any era, in any situation, for one drive, one game, one season, who is my pick? Of course it's Patrick Mahomes. And I would challenge anyone who thinks it's differently to tell me the quarterback you're taking, what they can do that Mahomes can't. Because the answer is nothing. There is nothing any of these other legends could do that Mahomes can't. Oh, Montana clutch? Mahomes is the greatest come-from-behind quarterback ever. Oh, do a game manager. Don't just take care of the football situation. Mahomes just set the record for longest consecutive playoff games without throwing a pick. Oh, do it with amazing weapons, the 07 Patriots style. Okay, no problem. Mahomes' first year in the league threw 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards. All right, do it without a bunch of weapons. Last year, without a number one receiver, set the all-time NFL record for yards in a season, passing and rushing combined. All right, do it with a great defense. They traded away Tyreek Hill. They're 7-0 in the playoffs this year, leaning on their defense. No, so is Mahomes a game manager? Yes. Is Mahomes a high-flying trick shot artist? Yes. Is Mahomes a front runner? Sure. Is Mahomes the best come-from-behind guy? You betcha. Whatever type of player you need for that game, he will be. That is who the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs is. And there was an interesting moment in the Super Bowl when Rice got upset. Rashee Rice thought he was going to score the walk-off touchdown. So two things there. One is Rice didn't realize that there was a bad snap and that Mahomes had to look down. So Mahomes looked down, so he didn't see Rice breaking open. I am of the belief, DeMonze, that even if he saw him open, he was not throwing it to him.
That's why I liked Rashee Rice getting on his ass about it. Like, I do think even though he's a rookie, I feel like, you know, it's crazy for him to come at Mahomes like that. But he was wide open, and I noticed that after he barked at Mahomes, Mahomes got the ball to him when he was open, and they ended up winning the game.
So here's the thing. I don't have any problem with Rashee Rice. Rashee Rice, by the way, has handled himself beautifully. And it's okay for some fiery stuff on the sidelines. Hell, Travis Kelce damn near did an elder abuse on Andy Reid. And that is, and remind me, DeMonze, to talk about that. But I want to talk about the Rashee Rice thing right now.
Okay.
So Rice was spectacular this year. Love it. Mm-hmm. And he's such a great kid. And he seems so like, pinch me, I can't believe I'm on this team. I really love the player. So, and I don't mind him being fiery. His only issue was, believe it or not, he actually led the Chiefs in drops. Okay? So if you think about some of the worst Chiefs moments this year, they weren't MVS dropping the pass against the Eagles. They were Kadarius Toney dropping a pass on a route just like Rice was running, where it hits him in the hands and he pops it up in the air and it gets picked off. So 10 seconds left in the Super Bowl at the 10-yard line, down 3 points. because of Butker, who's a legendary postseason performer, you have overtime locked. And with the new rules, you're guaranteed a possession, right? I do not think Patrick Mahomes was throwing the ball there when they had overtime in their back pocket to anyone other than Travis on the edge, because that was the only pass he could make that was a 0% interception pass.
Right.
And so Rice running across the field open, but with the safety coming down, I think that, do you understand what I'm saying here?
I get what you're saying.
I think that, and now maybe that's not the right play. But in my mind, what is happening there is Patrick is saying, and maybe I'm overanalyzing it. Maybe it is as simple as the snap was low, so we never saw him. But I think it was, I am not going to risk that we lose the game on some fluky nonsense. Where he did throw the ball was a safe spot
at the end of the day.
The safest spot imaginable. It was right. It was either going to be a great play by Travis, or we're going to overtime.
Just a dead ball.
What it was not going to be is this rookie who is awesome, but has had a fumbling issue and a drops issue. I'm going to throw it over the middle, yards away from the end zone, with seconds left in the Super Bowl. And so I think Rasheed probably, I don't know if Rasheed was thinking that or not, but Rasheed probably, you know, probably like, you can trust me, buddy. You know what I mean? I'm there.
Seems like what he was thinking.
Yes. And, but also Creed Humphrey, who I think is the best center in football, had snap issues all playoffs.
Yeah.
All playoffs, they were all low, and it throws off timing. Mahomes dealt with it. In overtime, MVS took a 6-yard gain and went backwards 10 yards.
Oh, my goodness. That was really annoying. But, it didn't seem like he – it kind of seemed like he got thrown that way, though. Like, so he kind of got thrown and then
– it's a weird rule. So you get your forward progress unless you then – try to go forward steps. Again. So when he was thrown, if he'd have just gone down, he'd have gotten the 6 yards. But the moment you regather and then try to go, it starts anew. So he regathered and then was like, oh man, I lost 4 yards. Let me go back further. Right. That was almost a real disaster. And that's overtime of the Super Bowl. They got out of it. All right. I want to talk about the biggest moments of the game, because sometimes we go too macro and don't get into the micro. So I'm just going to go drive by drive, and I apologize if this is a little laborious. And Demonze, you jump in whenever you want.
Drive, let's go. All right.
Not sweet, play by play, but drive by drive. Nah. All right, opening drive of the game, I didn't like how things were going, because there were the Niners. They went 1st and 10, 2nd and 4, 1st and 10, 1st and 10, 1st and 10. And I'm like, well, not even forcing many second downs, much less third downs. This is not good. Now, I wasn't panicked because the Chiefs have been such a better second half defense than first half defense, but I didn't love it. And then the McCaffrey fumble happens, and I am over the moon. Because I know the math on, if you don't win the turnover battle, you don't beat the Chiefs. The Chiefs, the only games they lost this year, they lost the turnover battle, except for the first game of the year, they tied the turnover battle, but the turnover was a pick six, which counts in my brain as 2 turnovers. So I'm like, okay, this is a blown opportunity. And then the Chiefs, first drive, goes 3 and out. They have, and it's like, all right, you know what I mean? We're fine. 3 and out is what it is. And then the Chiefs defense settles a bit. Really what happens, the Niners get a couple brutal penalties, and that drive stalls, and now we're just kind of trading punts. And then the Niners have the first significant moment of the game when right at the end of after the end of the first quarter, they get in Chiefs territory. They have a 3rd and 14, And I thought, DeMonze, they were going to go short over the middle or run McCaffrey, make it an easier field goal for Jake Moody. The Niners instead take a deep shot to Debo, and that was the play that Trent McDuffie had perfect coverage. Perfect. Was one-on-one with Debo. He jumps in the end zone, bats it away. And now it's fourth and 14, and I'm thinking, we are cooking with gas here. This Moody guy is going to miss the kick, and we got and Moody, who, to the Niners' credit, they got rid of Robbie Gould, who was as money as any kicker in the league inside of 40 because he didn't have a big enough leg. And they go with this rookie from Michigan who has a monster leg but had been erratic this year, and he has the longest field goal at that time in NFL history. Okay? So so now it's 3-0. All right. Next drive. The Chiefs once again, the first play doesn't do much. The drive is kind of going spotty. Rashee Rice fumbles. Keep that in mind. He fumbled in this game. Now, Tony Romo oddly was like, was that intentional, Jim? No, it was. I promise you, he was not intentionally lateraling forward while being tackled. but the Chiefs recover it. And that's when Mahomes uncorks the bomb to McColl. And McColl, who has had trouble tracking balls all year, the safety for the Niners lost the ball in the lights or something, McColl tracks it down. And that was when we then got the fumble by Pacheco. Oh. So, and that's when we then also saw Travis get into it with Andy. So let me give a little context there. First of all, this is why sports and everything, life is so, these little tiny moments, man. If Andy falls over, not only do the Chiefs probably lose, but like it is now Travis Kelce's entire life is different. If when he bumps Andy, if Andy falls, I think Travis maybe is just done for the day. That the Chiefs, you know what I mean? Like, there are these little moments. Go ahead, DeMonze.
I mean, I just kind of notice, I kind of look at people's body language and stuff. When Andy Reid started to slip over, I noticed that Travis Kelce's fist was still balled. I noticed that he didn't, like, I've kind of felt that he noticed that he was falling over, and he was just continuing to scream at him. I didn't really like that he didn't kind of put the hand out, you know, didn't, like, grab him or something. But
those two guys clearly deeply
love. They've got a good relationship. Exactly.
But same with Travis. If you remember a couple years ago, Travis and Bieniemy got into it on the sideline. Travis two-arm shoved him. But for some reason with your position coach, it's like not considered as big of a deal. And then later that game, he and Bieniemy hugged. Travis, you know, Travis punched a teammate in practice.
Yeah, he's
in
a little hothead, this low-key. Year.
He gets really high strung.
It's competitive.
And it's not, again, it's a bad look, and Travis was embarrassed by it. Andy, you know, Andy's Andy, and just, you know, he totally let him off the hook.
It looked like he just kept his eyes forward, to be honest.
Yeah, and was like, what are you doing? Like, yeah, he was like, I'm not even going to. And by the way, Jerick McKinnon came over and grabbed Travis, veteran leader, been on the team for a long time, was on IR, made some big plays in this game. But I think, so I'm not excusing what Trav did, but I think the context is fascinating. So do you remember, DeMonze, I think we talked about it on this show. If not, I'll remind the audience. What Travis said about the McColl Hardman fumble against the Ravens when McColl was going for the goal line. I'm sorry, against the Bills. When McColl was going for the goal line, remember against the Bills, he fumbles it out the back of the end zone.
I remember, and they, instead of, what did he say?
Travis said, I keep apologizing to McColl, and I'm going to do it all week. That was my fault. My guy, who I was blocking forced that fumble. And he's like, and I told McColl that's my fault. And that is, so I'll explain why I'm saying this in a moment. But that's A, being a great teammate and taking full accountability in all of it. But it's also Travis saying, McColl was going to score. I let off my block early. That right. guy then came across the field, forced the fumble. On the Pacheco fumble, Travis had been taken out of the game. Noah Gray came in. Noah Gray's guy got off the block and forced the fumble. And I think Travis was beside himself because Gray had made the exact mistake he had made. And Travis knew he wouldn't make that mistake in the red zone again, same circumstance, because he had just made it. You understand what I'm saying there?
So that, like that him it was, going go at ahead. Andy Reid about that was just, it wasn't because of a missed look. It was because he just wasn't on the field.
Because he was that, mad he was play. Not in the game. Yes. Right. He was mad that he was off the field because they have the huge pass to Hardman. Travis right. on the pass, you know, thinks it's coming to him, puts his hands up, and then sees it's going to Hardman. And then is coming down. And he got subbed out because a lot of times you take guys out after a 50-yard pass right. to get a breather. And he was saying, I'm fine. Like, leave me in the game. And it was not. Now, listen, I am not 100% on this. But I am very confident. It was not, give me the ball. I'm going to score. It was, leave me in the game. Because, and he wasn't, I don't think he was mad at Gray, but Gray had made the mistake that he had already made. And right. that he had, you know, and so that's the context to why that was such a, to use a silly word, a triggering moment for Travis. He had made this mistake. The Chiefs had fumbled in the red zone. It almost cost him the Bills game. Then he gets taken off the field. His backup makes the mistake. They fumble in the red zone. Is it going to cost him the Super Bowl? Like, So that's the context there. So then after that, the Chiefs force, you know, a quick three and out punt. The Chiefs then once again can't get anything going, and they punt. And all of a sudden, the Niners drive down the field, and this is where I start to get a little nervous. The Snead personal foul. So now, in the last 25 minutes of game action, DeMonze, we've had a fumble in the red zone, Travis losing his shit on the sideline, and Snead personal foul. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, we look like the damn Ravens did 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
We're playing all the guys. Same notes. Our best guys, they're making mistakes, they're losing their composure, and right after that, the old double pass touchdown. And now it's 10-0.
And well, honestly, like, and I'm not trying to take anything away, but the Chiefs, their meltdown seemed to be a little bit worse than the Ravens because it was internal. Like, they were coming at each other. The Ravens, I don't remember them really coming at each other's heads like that, but the Chiefs seemed to be folding within. But yep. No, I mean, they obviously got it together.
So now it's 10-0, and you have the biggest drive of the game for Kansas City up to that point. Need to get points before the half so you can go into the half down, just down one score. And a sneaky, massive play was the Chiefs have a 3rd and 4 after the 2-minute warning, and McColl Hardman false starts. And now it's 3rd and 9 at your own 40. You don't pick this up. The Niners are getting the ball with 1:50, all their timeouts, and you're at least down 10 at halftime, if not more. And that was the play that Mahomes scrambles to his right, is looking around, and finds Justin Watson over the middle of the field. That also, by the way, on that play, Fred Warner got called for a defensive holding that got declined because they caught it. And I'm so glad the Chiefs caught it because I did not want to hear, oh, bailed out 3rd and long, blah, blah, blah. And so Watson caught it. The very next play, Mahomes goes back to Watson. He drops it. But they still move the ball down the field. And Shanahan, this was his first mistake of the game, doesn't use his timeouts. Once again, conservative before the end of the half. Just wants to take the lead. He can use get timeouts to then maybe go get a field goal of his own. He doesn't use them. This has been a problem of his throughout his coaching career. And the Chiefs end up with a first and 10 at the 14 and third and 5 at the 9, 30 seconds left. Mahomes takes a sack. And all of a sudden, going to the halftime 10-3. And in that moment, I was like, you know what? That half couldn't have gone any worse. Going to get the ball after halftime, go down and score, and all the pressure will be on the Niners. Little did I know, after halftime, the Chiefs were going to have two of their worst offensive drives of the year. We'll do the second half of the game and answer some of your guys' questions next. Take a quick break, come back, what's right. With Factors, delicious, ready-to-eat meals you will be eating stress-free this spring. Each meal is chef-crafted, fresh, and dietitian-approved. More importantly, they are never frozen and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled up all day long. Try meals with premium ingredients like filet mignon, truffle butter, and shrimp. Restaurant-quality food that you do not have to prep, cook, or clean up, delivered right to your doorstep. And if you need to change your deliveries, you can pause or reschedule whenever you like. Factor is your solution for fast and premium meals. Also, for the month of April, Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So, what are you waiting for? Head to factormeals.com/NickWright50 and use code NickWright50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code NickWright50 at factormeals.com/NickWright50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next. Fuel up fast, eat better, and get back to what you love doing this spring with Factor. Welcome back in. What's right with Nick Wright? All right, Demonze, before I get to the second half, kind of blow by blow, if there are some questions or follow-ups or things that you want to ask that the producers were thinking about where I was, you know, kind of all of it throughout, and then we'll get into the second half play by play, we can do that.
Okay. So who's the craziest person that you heard of or heard from during or after the game?
Oh, that's a good one. The coolest was Mahomes. The hearing from him after the game. And I don't know if you can hear me or not, Demonze.
No, I can.
Okay, good. You can. I got 200 texts right after the game. And I then responded to them one by one yesterday. I'm scrolling through it now. I mean, I heard from someone I haven't talked to in like 3 years. You know who was the angriest at the Niners and Shanahan? Your uncle Pee Wee. He's heated, man. He's heated. He's heated.
Hopefully he's not too heated.
He was upset. The answer is, I mean, I heard from friends and family. Everyone was congratulating me as if I won the Super Bowl, which was very nice. Like, I can't imagine what it's like for the people that actually do win the Super Bowl. But all right, go ahead. What else?
So what are your plans for the parade? Oh wait.
That's great. So we are going to do First Things First from Kansas City. We're not gonna. You know, we don't have the rights to broadcast the parade or the stage or any of that stuff. So we're going to do something similar to what we did last year, where we're just like amongst the people and doing it from there. But that, so we fly out right after today's show.
All right. Go ahead. Who did you watch with, and how was the vibe?
It was me, your mom, your little sister, and Coach Mangini.
I could have sworn he wasn't there.
No, Mangini was there. And he said that I kept hitting him. I didn't even know it. I just kept like slapping his shoulder.
All right.
But I was, I mean, the vibe was anxious. I had never a doubt about the Chiefs over the totality of the season. But once games start, you get anxious. You know what I mean? Like, and there were touch and go moments, as we'll talk about in the second half breakdown.
Super close for comfort.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, at one point, like mid second quarter, your sister, your baby sister, was like, "Oh my gosh, I'm the VIP tomorrow. So we have to, Daddy, can you print out these pictures for me?" Like,
oh yeah,
no, I cannot. Like, you're out. You've lost your mind. Like, you've truly lost your mind. All right, let's get back now. Let's do the second half because it started disastrously. You come out of the half down 7. It's like, all right, go get points. First play of the drive. Pacheco doesn't handle the toss. And all of a sudden, we're in 2nd and 22. Just a total disaster. And worst start possible. Second down, you get some of the yards back. And then Mahomes, with his one real mistake, the interception. And that's when I was like, oh my God. I thought it was going to be tied, and instead it's Niners ball damn near in field goal range. And that's where I think Kyle made some mistakes. The next 3 Niners drives, they called 7 passes and 2 runs. And I understand the Chiefs were in fronts where you think you want to pass. What the Chiefs were worried about was McCaffrey. And you played into their hands of letting Purdy, who was fine. Like, I don't want to spend a lot of today. Purdy was fine. And I thought he made some very nice plays early in the game and a couple nice plays late. He only had one ball that I thought should have been picked, the first pass of overtime. And we'll get into that later. Like, Purdy was not the reason they lost, and he was not good enough, you know what I mean, to be the reason they won.
Did he ever scramble at any point during the game? I'm trying to think.
He did once, and they called the horse collar, even though I thought Bolton let go. Right. They called the horse collar, but yeah, he didn't scramble much. He also, his yardage prop, DeMonze, was 12.5, and he was at 13, and then took that knee at the end of... was it regulation? Yeah, took the knee at the end of regulation and went under. And so, but, all right, so they, go ahead.
No, it's something small. It might actually annoy you, so continue. Sorry.
Okay, thanks. And so I thought the Niners had the ball 3 times with a chance to take a 2-score lead and went 3 and out every single time. And that was when they felt like they had left the door cracked open just enough. And then the Chiefs finally get a good drive, or a decent drive. There wasn't really a singular huge play, except for the Mahomes-designed run when he ran for 22 yards. And then all of a sudden, Butker is lining up for a 57-yarder to break the record Moody had just set. He hits it, and now it's 10-6. And you're like, okay, we might be in business. The Niners then again go 3 and out, and I'm like, all right, the Chiefs are going to have the lead. And the Chiefs have a 3rd and 2, and Mahomes gets rushed, doesn't hit Richie James, and they're punting. And that was when the muffed punt happened. And it wasn't even a muffed punt. It went off a guy's leg, and it's just unlucky. And the Chiefs, you know, the Chiefs had a lot of fumble luck in this game. 7 balls were fumbled by the 2 teams. The Chiefs recovered 6 of them. That's, you know, that's lucky. And the Chiefs to get
as
on
the drive. Has the drive passed where Mahomes threw the pass? He was like falling. Kind of want to ask you if you thought that was calculated, because I thought that was almost a huge mistake as well, where he's falling over. He throws the ball, and it just landed perfectly in between 2 49ers. but it was just like
in the middle of the field.
Yes, and it was like almost kind of like a deep pass.
So what I was worried about there was, yeah, I think it was. What I was worried about there was that they might call grounding. That it, because it, now usually don't call grounding in the middle of the field, but I didn't see a good view on whether or not there was anyone around. But they just kept it moving. Yeah, yeah, that could have been a big mistake.
This is scary.
But then so the muff punt hits the up man's leg. The Chiefs recover it. First play, touchdown, MVS, and all of a sudden the Chiefs have the lead. And this is where I will give Purdy credit. You are trailing, end of the third quarter, headed into the fourth in the Super Bowl, and he made some big plays. Third and five, hits Juwan Jennings, and then for 17 yards. Fourth and three, Shanahan at the 15, goes for it. Which was shocking to me, but the right call. Purdy hits George Kittle, where George Kittle got all four of his yards for the game. But keep telling me how he's the best tight end in football. 37 yards per game in the playoffs. Get out of here. And then second and nine, Purdy finds Juwan Jennings again, and all of a sudden the Niners have the lead. That was, I mean, that's a down in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, and Purdy came through. So credit to him there. Didn't make any big mistakes. It wasn't like one screen pass popped off. And now we get to the Mahomes brilliance. Okay? Down three in the Super Bowl, 11 minutes left. First down. Hits Kelsey for 16. Next first down. Pacheco, nothing. Second down. Incomplete to Rice. Third and 10. At your own 41, down three in the Super Bowl, 10 minutes left. Travis Kelce for 13 yards. First and 10. This is the play you're talking about, DeMonze. Bad snap. He's getting hit. Throws it deep down the middle to no one, and they don't call grounding. I don't know if it was grounding or not, but that was touch and go. Second down and 10. Justin Watson for 25 yards, perfectly placed down the sideline. Now we're cooking. First and 10 at the 21. Pacheco with his best run of the day, 9 yards. Second and one from the 12. Pacheco with his second best run of the day, 8 yards. And then this was where I really couldn't believe they didn't get a touchdown. First and goal from the 4. Pacheco up the middle for 1 yard. Second down, Mahomes incomplete. Third down, Mahomes gets sacked, and they're kicking a field goal. And now it's tied with 5.5 left, and this, DeMonze, is when I freaked out. Because
they were running that clock,
I was like,
too.
Well, right. Five under six, the Chiefs had burned a timeout, and I'm doing the math, and I'm like, it's on the board. We don't touch the ball again. It's on the board that the Niners just get 6 yards, 6 yards, 4 yards, 8 yards, slowly, methodically move the ball down the field.
Defense is tired as hell.
Yep. And first down, Purdy hits Jennings for 23, and oddly, DeMonze, I didn't hate it. Oh, and by the way, I left out, obviously, a massive, massive moment, which was after the Purdy touchdown, the blocked extra point. Which changed the math on a lot of things. Now, if the Chiefs were down 17-13 instead of 16-13, when they had that fourth and goal from the four, they would have, or from the six, they would have gone for it, of course. Everything changes. But still, huge moment. All right. When Jennings gets the 23 yards on their first play, I'm not that devastated. I don't love it, but I'm not that devastated because I'm like, okay, if they're going to score, go score fast. Get big chunks. But then Debo gets 9 yards. And it's so funny. I was confusing Deanna so much because I saw him get 9 yards. Well, I was like, I wanted him to get 10. I wanted it to be first down. And she's like, wait, she's like, why did you want it? I was like, I can't explain it to you right now. Just trust me. And second and one. The Niners use a timeout. And then they run McCaffrey for three. And they're at the fringe of field goal range. And now I'm worried. First and 10, 3.5 left. They run McCaffrey for five. And now I'm terrified. I'm like, well, it's second and 5. The Chiefs have 2 timeouts and the 2-minute warning. If they keep running, we're not going to see the ball again. And then, in my opinion, Kyle Shanahan made, and this is how Super Bowls come down to, people all talk about the 28-3. The 28-3, and Shanahan blew it, and Brady and all that. It's two plays. Two plays for Kyle in that Falcons game. Up 8 after the amazing Julio Jones catch on the sideline. If he just calls 2 runs in places he called 2 passes, they're kicking a field goal and they win the Super Bowl. Called a pass, they had a hold, they took a sack, and all of a sudden they're punting. Second and 5, 2:45 left. If you're the Niners, if you run 5 more plays, or 6 more plays, 5 or 6, the Chiefs are never touching the ball again. And he throws, and it goes incomplete. And now we keep a timeout, and now it's 3rd and 5. It's the 2-minute warning. And I think your mom has this on video. I am kneeling in front of the TV saying, tip a pass, tip a pass, tip a pass. Now, as a Chiefs fan, I wanted them to throw. Again, if we're going to parse with Kyle, 2nd and 5, I think, is a must run. 3rd and 5, you can make the argument. The right play there is, after the 2-minute warning, to run McCaffrey. He can pick up 5 yards. If he does, you can run the clock down to 20 seconds and kick your field goal. If he doesn't, you have a really interesting call. Tied at 4th and 2 with a chance to pick up a first down and run the clock down to 0 and kick the field goal. You know, like, but instead, they call a pass. And I am yelling, tip a pass, tip a pass, tip a pass. And Trent McDuffie, who had maybe the best game of his career, comes unblocked on a blitz, drawn up by Spagnuolo, and we got him in the Tyreek Hill trade with our first-round pick, traded then in front of Buffalo to snag him. He leaps and tips the pass. And now it's 4th down, and now the game is back in Patrick Mahomes' hands, and I was never nervous again. Moody, shout out to him, makes the field goal, but now it's Patrick Mahomes with 2 timeouts, a field goal ties it, a touchdown wins it. And what does Patrick Mahomes do? Finds Travis for 9 yards. Scrambles on his own for 3. Finds Noah Gray for 12 yards. Finds Justin Watson for 8 yards. Throws incomplete to Watson. That was on the play. That was a weird one where Romo was yelling, spike the ball, spike the ball. But Jerick McKinnon or Isaiah Pacheco was not behind the line of scrimmage yet. And then even afterwards, he was like, you could have saved 30 seconds. Like, nobody. They had to wait for him to get back. But regardless.
Isn't there a certain formation that you have to be in order to spike the ball?
You don't know. There's a spike formation, but everyone's got to be behind the line either way.
At the very least. No, of course.
At the very least. And then he goes to McKinnon for 7 yards on 3rd and 2. Sneaky, massive play. The play to McKinnon. 3rd and 2. You have man-to-man coverage deep down the field. This is where Mahomes is matured and just the best quarterback I've ever seen. 3rd and 2, DeMonze. Down 3. 45 seconds left, okay? You have a chance to have the greatest moment in NFL history, a 40-yard game-winning touchdown pass. And you know what he does? Talks to McKinnon before the snap, tells him to go out to the right at the snap, dumps it off to McKinnon, move the sticks. Chiefs timeout. 1st and 10, Mahomes scrambles. That was, I think, his only mistake, for the record, of the entire last two drives. The scramble was bad because the clock now runs. Now, second and seven, Demonte, he goes incomplete. Now you've got 20 seconds left. You're at the 33. So if you don't pick this up, it is asking Butker, who's amazing, but to make another 50-yarder, just to tie the Super Bowl. And that was where Travis Kelce took the ball on a crossing route and not only went 22 yards, not only lowered the shoulder and knocked out the Niners defender, but Travis Kelce, Demonte, and this is why sports are great. Because the legends show you why they're legends. Travis Kelce, Demonte, on that play, ran faster than he has run on any play in any game in 7 years. That's a fact. Next Gen Stats. That is a legendary player channeling something that he has not had access to in almost a decade. I am going to, because he knew he had to get to the sideline, so we can, right. And he knew the circumstances. The Chiefs still had a timeout, but you want to get to the sideline so you can save the timeout.
Right.
Get to the sideline, get upfield. And he went, the 34-year-old Travis Kelce ran faster than Travis Kelce has in any game since he was 27. And then the very next play is the Rashee Rice is open. He throws to Kelce, and now we're kicking a field goal. And then we go to overtime. And overtime, I got to tell you, I'm glad it went this way. But for all the folks who have been whining all damn year, the Chiefs get all the calls, the Chiefs get all the calls, there was not a single pass interference, defensive holding, or illegal contact penalty called, accepted the entire game. And then it's third and 13 in a broken pocket with Brock Purdy getting sacked, maybe fumbling, and they call defensive holding, and they get a new set of downs. It was going to be a three and out punt, Chiefs ball, go win the Super Bowl. But you know what? So be it. No
Before
problem.
Before you go into that, I have a question. Yeah. How would you have played the overtime decision had you been the Niners and won the toss?
Oh, I think they – listen, I understand what Kyle was saying about if there's a third possession, that's sudden death. I get the logic. I don't think that applies to playing Mahomes. I think they made a mistake. I think that if you're playing Mahomes, giving him an extra down to where and giving him the knowledge, what they call the second mover advantage, he needs to do, I was thrilled they picked what they picked. So I thought that was a mistake. I don't think it was the biggest mistake Kyle made. I understood the logic of it. What I did think was mortifying for the Niners is that none of their players knew the rules.
That
they said after the game. They like. Can you imagine, Demonte? What if the Niners had scored a touchdown on their opening drive? Would guys have ripped their helmets off, laid on the field, been celebrating?
Right.
Right? That's really crazy. Meanwhile, the Chiefs were like, we had a PowerPoint about it. We knew everything. But okay. So they pick it up. Purdy makes a really good play on third and two to move the sticks. They don't face another third down until the final offensive play of the game. They had a sneaky, it was a blatant, but a really bad holding penalty. By their right tackle, it was no question about it. It was a hold that put him in second and 12, but they picked it up anyway to Juszczyk on that pass that I wasn't sure was a catch or not when Juszczyk lost the ball when he hit the sideline, but whatever.
Des Bryant said it wasn't.
Yeah, so, and then third and four, Demonte, legendary players, you know, do legendary things, and Chris Jones... I understand he was unblocked, but Chris Jones did to Purdy what he did to Josh Allen two rounds before. Someone's wide open behind my head for a potential game-winning touchdown. I'm going to make you not be able to see him.
Right.
With Josh Allen, he bumped him. With Purdy, you rushed him. And now this was, in my opinion, a mistake by Shanahan. Fourth and four, I think you got to go for that.
You have to.
Because here's why. If you don't get it, the Chiefs are not in four down mode. If you don't get it, the Chiefs, you know what I mean? They can't go for a fourth down if you now only need a field goal. You know, and so right. I thought he made a mistake there. He kicked the field goal. And in that moment, I said, we're going to win the Super Bowl. And what did the – listen, the Chiefs get stuffed on a third and one. They call timeout. Mahomes runs. And just think about that. Fourth and one, down in overtime. You don't pick it up, you lose. You pick it up, people are talking about you as the greatest player they've ever seen. He picks it up. And then after that, you have the MVS play, which should have been second and four instead of second and 13. No problem. He goes right back to MVS. And this is, again, the advantage of knowing you have four downs. On second and 13, they weren't trying to pick up 10 yards. They were like, we still have three downs. They picked up six to MVS. Third and six, they run mesh to Rashee Rice. That was the play where Kelsey had the great block after Rice caught the ball, and now we're cooking. Now all of a sudden we're in Niners territory. Mahomes to Pacheco for 4 yards. Mahomes to Pacheco for 5 yards. Third and one. I thought he was going to run for the game-winning touchdown. Third and one, Mahomes up the middle for 19 yards. I thought he was going to get the game-winning touchdown.
That was a great play to see.
First and 10, Pacheco for 3 yards. A sneaky, massive moment of the game. Kelsey gets that inside screen. There's people everywhere.
Yeah, they got him at the line of scrimmage, basically, and he powered through.
And he willed his way, not only for the extra yards, but this is so important, for a first down. If he's 2 yards short, it's now third and two at the five. What do you do if you don't pick it up? Do you go for the fourth down? Do you just force another over? What do? He picks it up, and then as Tony Romo's explaining to us about 20 minutes too late that this clock actually is totally irrelevant and doesn't matter at all, Mecole Hardman's into the end zone untouched, and the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. And it took every bit of every one of those guys. Go ahead.
Like, Shanahan has to, like, have it in his head that they're probably going to run that play, given they're in the same spot that they were in when they ran it to Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore last year. I feel like that's the one play you've got to be like, and I get, like, granted, they might have got him with the motion that Mecole ran.
Yeah, the motion. They were so afraid that Mecole was going to take the jet sweep. I mean, that's why that play is so deadly. Is because we do so much jet sweep stuff. But this is why the Chiefs are special. They have scored four second half Super Bowl receiving touchdowns, DeMonze, in the last 2 years. Those four have gone to Sky Moore, who's going to have to fight to be on the roster. Kadarius Toney, who's going to have to fight to stay in the league. MVS, who everyone was done with, and Mecole Hardman, who the New York Jets said, we can't use him. Those are the four guys who have scored receiving touchdowns from Patrick Mahomes in the last two Super Bowls. And that's how you become a dynasty. Quick break, right back. What's right? All right, welcome back in. What's right with Nick Wright? All right, I just told the producers I was going to do something, and then I changed my mind. We're going to do our Never a Doubt recap in a week. We have some great tweets from you guys, and we're going to do that. We have them in the rundown, but I don't have time to get to them right now because I have to go do Colin, got to do the show, and then I got to get on a plane. I want to do a speed round, I'll do it, of these questions. John Sackett said, I want that hoodie. One of your mom's friends sent this to me. Your mom's friend, I don't want to say the wrong friend, but someone from Kansas City sent it to me. When I find the link to where you can get this Kansas City versus everybody hoodie and jacket, I'll tweet it out. David Snyder says, controversy with overtime decision by Kyle. Let's say he kicked Mahomes, scored a touchdown. Would you have liked them to go for two? Chris Jones said they were. Chris Jones said that their plan all week was if it goes to overtime, we want the ball second, And if we need a touchdown, if we score a touchdown, we're going for two. Now, I don't know if they would have or not, but he said that's what the plan was. So that was kind of the flaw in Kyle's thought process, was you're not guaranteed that there's going to be a third possession. Again, I understood the logic of wanting the ball first, but I thought it was the wrong decision. Gabe Felter said, Nick, do you think the Chiefs will go after a no-name wide receiver in free agency? Or they try to draft another young player and save cap space? Here's the thing about winning this year and last year, DeMonze. Now there is, if you are a veteran player that still has stuff left in the tank, and you're like, do I want the biggest contract possible or do I want the best chance to win a ring? There is now no argument where you go if a ring is your chosen. It's not like, Buffalo could be good, Baltimore, Sanford, it's Kansas City. So that is where winning breeds winning. They've used back-to-back second-round picks on receivers. Rasheed's awesome. Sky hasn't worked out. Oh, Brian Dugan. Oh, I love him. He's one of my best friends from childhood. Brian, tell your brother Sean I say hello. He says, never a doubt, maybe a little panic for me. I'll never make that mistake again. David Glassstetter says, do you think confrontation between Kelsey and Coach Reed tarnished the victory a bit, knowing be blown up by those outside Chiefs kingdom? Sarah Palin blew it up. The people that hate Travis Kelsey because they hate what they perceive his politics to be, are gonna use it against him. Nobody that matters will. It does not matter. Also the fact that he ended up playing great. He had 8 catches on 9 targets after that was spectacular, and Coach Reed didn't mind. Cole Cordova said, do you think it's time to make a move at quarterback for the Niners? No, I mean, you got Brock for 1 more year at $1 million. And so I think you try to ask Brock to do a little more and see what he, because you have a major question answer on Brock a year from now, whether or not you want to pay him. Ryan Fitzgerald said, what did you think about the decision to kick with 6 left in regulation instead of 1 more shot at the end zone? I was fine with it. I know they had a timeout, and I understand that it was borderline, but here's why I was fine with it. Oddly, because of the bad snaps. And I love Creed, and Creed is, you know what I mean, a legend. But you 6 seconds, what if it's a really bad snap? And either you lose 10 yards or it bounces around and clock time runs out. So I was fine with it. 8 seconds, I'd have gone for another shot. 6 seconds, no. Itachi said, are we going to keep Jones? I hope so. And so we'll see. Has Nick paid DeMonze his teaser payout yet? No, but I will today. How long does the excitement last? Ooh. For life? Where do you go eat? Where do you live in Kansas City? A lot of places. All right. Wanted to answer all your questions. Keep sending your Never Doubt tweets from the parade, and we'll show them on Tuesday's show along with all the rest of these. DeMonze, did you have something you wanted to say? Looked like you were going to jump in right there.
No. I was actually going to jump in and say what you said, but no, super fun show. Let's go, Chiefs Kingdom.
Great job. Let's go, Chiefs Kingdom. Dynasty official. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. See you guys at the parade in Kansas City. See you on First Things First at 3 o'clock. See you on Colin in about 90 minutes. What's right? Hey, it's Nick Wright. Thank you so much for watching. Please do us a favor. Click subscribe. It helps my ego. And DeMonze's got a financial bonus writing on a number of YouTube subscribers. So help him out. And also, click the bell. I don't know what the bell does, but they tell me to tell you to click the bell. And your audio listeners, people that have commutes, drives, whatever it is, subscribe to the podcast as well, wherever you get the podcast. Same show, just in your ears instead of through your eyes. All that. Check it out. Appreciate y'all.